The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry. The British citizen just made history. On June 23rd, Britain voted to leave the European Union. But decades before the referendum, one man prophesied it. His name was Herbert W. Armstrong. More than 60 years ago, Armstrong boldly forecasted Britain will leave Europe. It seemed crazy. No one saw it coming. But Herbert W. Armstrong did. How did he know?
How did he know? That's a little commercial we put together 5 years ago. I think June 24th it said there. 5 years ago today, the British people voted to leave the European Union. And, of course, we had said for many, many years, it's discussed in this wonderful brochure, this magazine. He was right. I guess it's not a monthly magazine. That's our Philadelphia Trumpet. But it's a magazine-style brochure or booklet. Herbert Armstrong was right. How did he know? How did he know? Well, of course, he used Bible prophecy as his guide. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily. I'm your host, Stephen Flurry, and we're very, very happy to have you with us here on this show. Of course, we go out every day on our broadcast partners' platforms, CRN Digital Talk Radio Network. That's Channel 3 on their platform, Channel 3 on their network of stations. And that goes into millions of homes around the United States. And that's audio only. If you'd like to see the television version of this program, you can get to that, of course, at our website, thetrumpet.com. If you just go to thetrumpet.com and then go /live, add that to the URL, then you'll go right to the page that has all of our programs, our podcasts that have been posted following the live broadcast. So the live showing comes every day at this time, 11 a.m. here in the Midwest, 12 noon on the East Coast, and 9 o'clock in the morning out on the West Coast of the United States. So if you haven't seen the video version yet, go to thetrumpet.com/live. So, as I said, we had a lot to say 5 years ago when it happened. Brexit, it's hard to believe, 5 years have passed. Who can forget, by the way, speaking of the Trumpet magazine, this particular issue, this was August, I believe, the August 2016 issue, where we quote Mr. Armstrong on the cover, Germany is the economic and military heart of Europe. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe. But Britain will be no part of it. How did he know? How did he know? I mean, that really, just going back 5 years and remembering this, it's astonishing, really. Just going back, it really should help to solidify your faith in God's truth. There's an article in the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine that came out just this week. This week, I'll just show you the cover if you haven't gotten it in your mailbox yet. It's about the half of the city of Jerusalem prophesied to fall. But there's another little article in here about the truth setting you free. You really can stake your life on God's truth. God's truth. It is sure. It's a sure foundation on which to build your life. We talked yesterday at the end of the show about setting your affection on the things of God. And we'll get to that more at the end of today's show. We'll continue on through Colossians chapter 3, but setting our minds, our hearts, on our affection on the things of God, on the things of God's throne above. Hear this montage, or look at this montage. I think we just had audio only at the time, back 5 years ago. But here's a collection of some of the statements that we made in the lead up to June 23rd, 2016. This is clip 13.
Herbert Armstrong said back in 1973 that Britain's entry into the European community portends a tragic situation.
A date fraught with ominous potentialities. For that date marked the United Kingdom's entry into the European community.
It's going to be faced with a dilemma, Mr. Armstrong said in 1973. Would it be immersed into an imperialistic United States of Europe? Or would it hold on to that heritage, that culture, that British culture?
Now, Britain is going to leave Europe. We know that. Bible prophecy tells us that. Mr. Armstrong warned for years that Britain would leave the European Union.
Notice what Mr. Armstrong had to say. This is in 1956. Writing this in 1956. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe, but Britain will be no part of it.
And all of this was chronicled. All of this was talked about. All of it was talked about ahead of time. In The Plain Truth. In The United States and Britain in Prophecy, that book went out to 6 million people. And of course, Mr. Armstrong wrote about these things because of many, numerous prophecies. So we know this. These things are being fulfilled. We don't know absolutely for sure if it's going to happen on June 23rd, Britain being no part of it, that is. But it's coming. The handwriting is on the wall. It is in the future. Britain's not going to be part of it.
You heard there from me over the years. Our program, of course, just started in 2015. You heard Richard Palmer, who subs in for me, Brad McDonald also. And we're just relying on what Herbert Armstrong said. He was right. He was right because he looked to God. He looked to the sure word of Bible prophecy. That's how we knew it. How did he know? Because of Bible prophecy. So think about that. Next time you think about some of the other prophecies we've been discussing of late regarding Jeroboam, Antiochus, Amos 7, 2 Kings 14, the saving of America temporarily, and then the warring that's going on even now to recover what was stolen. You might have seen the news yesterday about the H.R. 1 bill. I guess it's the S-1 bill now that it's moved into the Senate. And here they're trying to basically make all of the fraud and stealing and the theft that went on last year. They want to make it law. They want the federal government to take over the election in your state. They want to ensure that they can cheat from here on out. And so they're pulling out all the stops. They've got everyone in the media crying out, racism, racism. If you don't pass this, it's going to be racism. If we don't pass this, we could get the bad orange man again. It's really revealing. Here they're just a few months into the term of this fake presidency. And this is one of the most important pieces of legislation that they start off with. It tells you about what they did last year. You know why they want federalized control over the election process in Florida, in Georgia, in Arizona. Because they're worried. They're scared. They're worried about what these state legislatures are doing. They're just passing voting laws to prevent what happened last year from happening again. Because they know what happened. Listen to this PBS reporter. Yesterday, talking about, she's bringing up the founding fathers as if they would be all for this. This is clip 5.
This is going to be a debate about whether or not we want America to be the place that the founders, flawed as they may have been, the founders wanted it to be.
Flawed as they may have been. There she is talking about the founders, the ones she hates on the one hand. And then she pulls them out of her back pocket to say, hey, the founders would have wanted this. The founders, yes, the founders, they definitely would have wanted universal mail-in voting. Unsolicited, just a million, tens of millions of ballots just flying all over the country. What else would they have wanted? Well, surely they would have wanted a month-long voting process. 2 months even. Not a voting day. Of course not. I mean, she's just lying. She's lying. And the Constitution spells out how to run an election. Or if it's not in detail, it leaves the matter to the states. So clear. It's so clear. But they want to muddy it up. They want to muddy it up so that they can do what they did on November 3rd. Every second year from here on out, every 2 years, they want to cheat. Here's a little more from that same reporter, clip six.
I've been talking to officials who say two other things really need to happen. The first is that the DOJ needs to start taking action to try to figure out whether or not there are ways to stop these state legislatures and these states from trying to take away voting access from Americans.
The DOJ, she's echoing what Rachel Maddow is calling for. The DOJ should stop these state governments, these state legislatures that Americans voted for. The DOJ, an extension of the executive branch, as if the DOJ was voted into office by the American people. And they just want it totally turned on its head, upside down. That you're, what you're seeing, as my father has explained before, you're getting a hard look of just what they're willing to do to maintain their hold, their stranglehold on power. And they're even calling in for reinforcement, or calling for Barack Obama, who's been working behind the scenes so much. He's coming out and speaking openly about the need for this legislation to go through. Well, it didn't go through. Yesterday, it was an even 50-50. You might remember from a few weeks ago, Joe Manchin said that he wasn't going to support the S1 legislation. He came around after some tweaks were made in the legislation, and then, like Conservative Treehouse brought out yesterday, with marching orders from Obama, the Senate prepares to ram through the federal takeover of elections. Obama's the one that gave them the marching orders. He said, hey, let's get behind Manchin's bill or the one he supports, and we can all be together on this. And if not for the filibuster, they would have rammed it right on through. As it was yesterday, it was an even 50-50 split. And so the bill went down in flames, and you had Chuck Schumer and the others saying, we're going to try to get to it some other way. They'll probably go after the filibuster next. They'll use this, the post I just read to you, suggests that they'll use this fail as an excuse that to really get behind what the radicals want. The radicals are really insisting that this go through so that they can cheat, so that they can steal more elections, just strip away all the voter ID laws, make sure there's universal mail-in balloting from here on out, just like we had during the COVID year. Make it easier for illegal aliens to vote. That's what the founders wanted, right? Here's Barack Obama yesterday slamming the Republicans on just expecting or insisting on certain voting rules that ensure the integrity of the election. This is clip two.
The issue of voting rights may not set off alarms for most of us, but the violence that occurred in the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, just a few months ago, should remind us that we can't take our democracy for granted.
January 6th, you see, they use all the big lies to say this is why we have to do this. Look at what happened on January 6th, as if that has to do with it. I mean, there you had protesters saying that they cheated. They cheated on November 3rd. And now you have Antiochus and all of his friends in the media, the propaganda media, saying that we've got to somehow get this through so that we can cheat from here on out. That's what's happening. Here again is Barack Obama from yesterday, clip three.
In defense of all these laws, these legislatures would allege that they were trying to prevent voter fraud. And they would say, sometimes just outright, sometimes they would insinuate that some voters, especially those in large urban minority communities, are somehow illegitimate. Despite repeated studies showing that serious voter fraud is virtually non-existent.
Non-existent. There's counties like Fulton County that have been doing it for decades. Decades. And here you hear him say that to have any kind of rules in place, well, it's racist, isn't it? because it really hurts the large urban minority communities. You can't expect them to show ID. You can't expect them to go to a voting booth on election day. That's what he's saying. Listen to clip. And over and again, you hear January 6th. I think he mentioned that. It was a five-minute video. And Obama's played in 2 or 3 minutes of it. And he must have mentioned January 6th 3, 4 times. This is clip 4.
We can't wait until the next election. Because if we have the same kinds of shenanigans that brought about January 6th, if we have that for a couple more election cycles, we're going to have real problems in terms of our democracy long term.
This is the end of democracy. I mean, we've got to ram this through the Senate, or else we're going to have another January 6th. And of course, to them, that's the worst thing since Pearl Harbor, worse than 9/11. Speaking of January 6th and that false narrative, listen to this exchange yesterday. This is Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, I believe. And he's got the police chief of Washington, D.C. And listen to this exchange. He's just basically saying, you know, you've got these people in jail from January 6th. How about those ones from last summer in Washington, D.C.? This is clip 7.
Do you know how many people were arrested for the summer riots?
We've had dozens of people arrested over the last year.
How many are still being detained?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Do you know whether by using geolocation, did we go and arrest people who participated in the summer riots in their individual states, like we did with the January 6th breachers?
If you're asking about how the Federal Bureau of Investigation operates, you'll have to address those questions to them.
So she won't answer the questions directly. You arrested hundreds of people, and many of them are still incarcerated from January 6th. How about, are any still detained from last summer? Well, I don't know about that. Did you hunt them down in all these other states like you did from January 6th? Yesterday, there was this grandmother of 5. Her name's Anna Morgan Lloyd. She pleaded guilty to 1 misdemeanor. She trespassed. This is from the USA Today. She attended this is a January 6th protester. This is one of the insurrectionists. She attended what initially began as a rally with her friend Donna Sue Bissey, also federally charged in the riot. Bissey, whose case is still pending, is scheduled to appear in court on July 19th. They got to get this other woman. This other insurrectionist. It says here, in a letter to the judge, Morgan Lloyd apologized for entering the U.S. Capitol and said she feels ashamed about how the march that day turned violent. So she's having to grovel before this judge just to get out of jail. She attached movie and book reports to her letter summarizing Schindler's List and Just Mercy. Her attorney recommended them, she said, to learn what life is like for others in our country. So now she's woke. Now she's woke. I've learned that even though we live in a wonderful country, things still need to improve, said Morgan Lloyd. People of all colors should feel as safe as I do when I walk down the street. How this has to do with her finally getting her day in court and pleading guilty, I will never know. But now it's about, I guess there's racism with this. It says here, in Schindler's List, protagonist Oskar Schindler diverted hundreds of Jews from sure death by employing them in his factory in Nazi-occupied Poland. In Just Mercy, Brian Stevenson recalls his career representing disadvantaged clients and establishing the Equal Justice Initiative in 1989. It says, Morgan Lloyd's attorney in court records said that the two have had many political and ethical discussions to learn about government policy toward people of color and about the responsibility of an individual when confronting wrong. So she's finally out free now. 6 months on, they got the grandmother, finally, and her female friend. Well, not yet. That's July 16th. That comes in another month. So Barack Obama's out there. Of course, he's right there with Joe Biden and all the others. The narrative is it was an armed insurrection and they were killing police. They were killing law enforcement. No, that happened last summer. January 6th, nothing like that happened. Let's tell the truth. The truth is what sets us free. So many lies, so much. Listen to Barack Obama, speaking of lies. He said this as part of his commentary on the S-1 bill, clip one.
Since I left office, I've tried to make it a policy not to weigh in on the day-to-day scrum in Washington.
Right. He's on the phone with Biden's people every day. He's the one giving the marching orders to the Democrats in the Senate. And there he is. Since I've been out of office, I just keep a low profile. I don't really have too much to say about anything. And there he is saying it about S1. We've got to ram this down their throats. We've got to legalize the cheating that happened last year. We've got to stop the state legislatures. We've got to send in the DOJ. Well, it went down in flames. And so we'll see what their next move will be. But there's no doubting the fact that this is a pretty big loss for the radicals in the United States. A pretty big defeat. Here's the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, his reaction to the bill's failure yesterday, clip 14.
Republican legislatures are making it easier to own a gun than to vote. Republican legislatures are making it harder to vote early, harder to vote by mail, harder to vote after work. They're making it a crime to give food or water to voters waiting in long lines. They're trying to make it harder for black churchgoers to vote on Sunday.
Notice he says they're the Republican legislatures. Here again, the state governments. They don't like the fact that the United States was established the way that it was, giving a certain amount of power, even though it's been diminished over the centuries, but giving a certain amount of power to the states. They don't like the fact that state governments are passing laws saying that, look, we're gonna have an election, maybe an election week. Maybe there's some early voting, some absentee voting if you're military overseas or whatever. But for the most part, we want an election day, and we want to make sure that you provide voter ID, just like you would if you went and bought alcohol at the store. You've got to prove who you are, and then vote, and everyone can vote. Every race can vote. Anyone can vote. A lot of people don't. A lot of people choose not to. But it's wide open, as it should be in the United States. Listen to Chuck Schumer again from yesterday, clip 15.
When Georgia Republicans say it's a crime to give a voter some water or food as they wait in line on a hot day, do they really think they're preventing voter fraud by denying them a snack? Give me a break. Give me a break.
Give me a break. They're dying of thirst. The Georgia voters, they don't have any snacks. No snacks in line, says Chuck Schumer. They're starving to death. So it's racism. I mean, I guess you're committing mass genocide as well. You're killing people. They can't eat. They can't have a snack. They can't get a drink of water. They can eat as much as they want in line. You just can't send some political operative to give them food, to bribe them into voting for a certain candidate. So they just lie about it. They just lie. They get up, they lie in the Senate. They lie in the media. The media themselves lie about it. One last clip here from Chuck Schumer, clip 16.
And they're actually making it easier for unelected judges and partisan election boards to overturn the results of an election, opening the door for some demagogue, a Trumpian-type demagogue, maybe he himself, to try and subvert our elections in the very same way that Trump tried to do it in 2020.
Oh, so Donald Trump cheated in 2020. I see. I see. That, I mean, that's rich for him to say that. Knowing what we know about what happened, knowing about the avalanche of evidence now that's coming out of Arizona, soon to be Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, all of it. And there he is saying, we need this bill. We need S1. We need to somehow get this through. If we have to abolish the filibuster to do it, it's worth it. Because look, otherwise, Trump may cheat. That's pretty amazing to hear that coming from Chuck Schumer, particularly when we know what happened on November 3rd. And that's really why they're hyperventilating the way that they are. That's why they're running scared, because they're being exposed. And they're not succeeding in federalizing the election right across the nation in saving America from the radical left. My father said, we're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. They have no respect for the rule of law. They believe they're above the law. He said, it's no exaggeration to say that such contempt for the nation's founding principles is a threat to the republic. It's a threat to the republic. In another article, it says, this is my father back in 2016, I believe the radical left will do almost anything to cling to power. Yes, they will, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it. Rasmussen had a poll just today. They revealed the results. It says, Arizona's ongoing audit of 2020 election results has been widely criticized, but a majority of voters nationwide approve of the election integrity effort. What? Cue Oprah. It says, a new national telephone and online survey by Rasmussen reports finds that 55% of likely U.S. voters support forensic audits. They support what these state legislatures are doing. And yet there's Barack Obama. There's the propaganda media. There's Chuck Schumer saying, we've got to send in the DOJ. We've got to stop these state legislatures for passing these laws. These laws that a majority of Americans want. So what does that tell you about what a majority of Americans know regarding November 3rd? They want these voter election laws. They want forensic audits even to make sure there was no cheating and stealing. And they're starting to get them. You can see why these state legislatures are pushing. They're pushing ahead with this. Never mind what Rachel Maddow says. They're pushing ahead with this because this is what a majority of Americans want. It's, as I say, it's very revealing when you see just how desperate the radical Democrats, the Marxists, the communists, when you see just how desperate they are to force this through. Donald Trump released a statement yesterday, by the way. He for one, said there's no truth to this report about, I forget what it was. But then he concluded the statement by saying 2024 or before. I mean, that's going to trigger some lefties right there. 2024, here we come. Could even be before. Could even happen sooner. That's Donald Trump trolling the radical left. Makes you wonder if he's maybe familiar with some of the things that that we've been saying here in this program. There's a few others too that have talked about this being in uncharted territory with respect to a president being reinstated following the reveal of mass corruption across many states. That would be taking us into an area that, well, we've never been as a nation. Just a few other things that we could add as a follow-up to some of the things that we've been covering recently. For one, the vaccine is still killing people, in case anybody's concerned about that. And there's still all kinds of double standards, rules for so-and-so, but they don't apply over here. You've got the Euro tournament going on in Europe. All of these superstar soccer players traveling from one nation to the next, that's no problem. I mean, they're important people. They've got to travel. I mean, the summit in the G7, you've got leaders from all over the world. They're the elites. I mean, they did elbow each other when they greeted one another. So, I mean, they tried to keep safe. They did keep a social distance between them when they took the official photo. They didn't do it during the cocktail parties, but the photo, I mean, everything was above board. And now here come the soccer players. And, well, the soccer, I forget the name of the association, but it basically told Britain that, look, you've got to remove this quarantine, I guess 10 days. If you're an ordinary pleb, if you travel overseas and then you come back to the UK, you've got to quarantine yourself for 10 days. And so the UK lifted that for the soccer players because they're millionaires, because the people want to watch them on TV, I suppose. This was in Joel Hilliker's trumpet brief last night. He said, it's not good to show partiality in judgment. He gave this brief on, or wrote this brief on how so many proverbs perfectly describe our nations today. He says three other proverbs condemn false weights and measures as an abomination, actually. God hates leaders applying one set of rules to one group of people and another set to others. He hates the government giving one group of protesters space to burn and destroy things while jailing and mistreating another group of protesters guilty only of trespassing. He hates when elites force America to have open borders while they themselves live in mansions and communities surrounded by fences and gates. And he cites all kinds of proverbs there, saying exactly what the problem is with us today. It's going on all the time in every place. So this, you know, if you're a politician in Britain, you've got one rule that you establish for the sheeple, and then other rules for the elites. Listen, by the way, to Dr. Fauci yesterday, along with the Walensky gal who heads up the CDC. Listen to them talking about the vaccine and the latest variant of COVID-19. This is clip 8.
We are not done until we completely crush this outbreak. We seem, as was the case with B117, we seem to be following the pattern with the Delta variant, with a doubling time of about 2 weeks. Similar to the situation in the UK, the Delta variant is currently the greatest threat in the US to our attempt to eliminate COVID-19. Good news, our vaccines are effective against the Delta variant. Conclusion, we have the tools, so let's use them and crush the outbreak. I'll hand it now over to Dr. Walensky.
We know our vaccines work against this variant. However, this variant represents a set of mutations that could lead to future mutations that evade our vaccine. And that's why it's more important than ever to get vaccinated now to stop the chain of infection, the chain of mutations that could lead to a more dangerous variant.
So now you've got the Delta variant, and of course, everybody's got to get vaccinated or else that's going to spread. So you can see where this is going. You're going to need not just this vaccine, you're going to need booster shots from here on out. We got to stamp out the flu. We've got to get rid of the flu altogether. This is from Breitbart. It says here, Twitter locked the account of the National File, that's a national populist news website, for reporting on a tweet from Tammy Burgess, a woman who says her 13-year-old nephew died 3 days after receiving a second dose of Pfizer's vaccine. She tweeted it out, and the National File just reported on it, and then they got their account canceled. So Twitter came along and said, well, I guess we made a mistake. We went ahead and reinstated that group. But that's how trigger happy the police at Twitter are to just remove any voice that would say, hey, this killed a 13-year-old. This is from the Globe and Mail. Actually, let me fast forward. This is another one. An 18-year-old who was pro-vaccine all the way, got the jab and so on. He's never had health problems in his life. And now, I mean, he regrets it. This is his quote in The Defender. I believe President Biden said in a recent statement that if you aren't vaccinated, you'll end up paying the price or you'll have to wear a mask. But I'd rather have COVID than a heart attack. So he's suffering from these complications. And he says outright, I'd rather take COVID than this. And that's, I mean, you can see why, because there's literally no threat to young people. And yet here they are pushing this vaccine, even on younger and younger people, some of these authorities. I did see, though, where the CDC the other day, I believe, said that it shouldn't be for young people. Or maybe that was a European outlet, I forget. In any event, there's a few. And they wouldn't say that if it was a perfect vaccine. They'd want everybody top to bottom to get it. They know. They're covering their tracks. This is from the Globe and Mail. One of our listeners sent me this. It says, a patient at a Calgary hospital who died after contracting the more contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 was among a group of people who caught the virus at the hospital despite being fully vaccinated. So it's not funny. The person died, but here they got both shots. Both shots. This is from the Globe and Mail in Canada. The outbreak at Foothills Medical Center, an outbreak of all things, it says, had already been raising alarm before because nearly half of those infected already had two doses of vaccine and others had a single dose. It says the death of a fully vaccinated patient, a woman in her 80s, has also added to the concern about the increase in variant cases in Alberta. It says the Delta variant, while still a small percentage of overall cases, has been increasing in the province. And then listen to this. But health officials and experts have cautioned against reading too much into such breakthrough infections, which will continue to happen even as more people are vaccinated. It says, but should remain rare. So there's the experts telling us, this is normal. This is perfect. Even as people are dying, this is perfect. It's a perfect system. It's a perfect drug. We've got to do this. We've got it. So don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed when people die. Well, they sure weren't saying that about 14, 15, 16 months ago, were they? They were alarmed then. And what did we have to do? Well, we had to lock everything down. We had to destroy the economy. If we could just save one person, they said, it's worth it. Well, people taking the vaccine by the millions and millions. And yes, the side effects are, in some cases, killing people. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to our show, you can write us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Breathing out, breathing in, more precious than it's ever been. We can't take it for granted. Never in our lifetimes has that fact been clearer, that precious breath of life. It might start to shorten. It might struggle. It might cease. How can it be protected? How can it be prolonged? How can it be saved? And what is the purpose anyway? What is the purpose of human life? What should you use that breath for? Most of us turn to doctors. It's a reflex, but it's becoming more and more clear that the medical industry does not have all the answers. It can be amazingly helpful, but can it actually heal? Is this the place to turn for healing after all? The human body, human breath, human life was designed, powered, preserved. It was created. Who made it? With something so important as your life, you need to know the creator of life. The Plain Truth About Healing by Herbert W. Armstrong will show you from your Bible the answers to the questions even most Christians are afraid to ask. Is the day of miracles past? Does the living God heal sickness? Did God raise up medical science for our day? What is the role of doctors? You can have not only sound health, but a sound mind. Go to thetrumpet.com and search The Plain Truth About Healing by Herbert W. Armstrong.
The Trumpet Daily.
I mentioned that article in the latest Royal Vision by my father about setting our affection on the things above, where he said we must be reminded of what to think about and the vision to get into our minds. And he talked about how the more that we meditate on that vision, the more we set our minds on the things above. At times it's emotionally moving. It can bring tears to your eyes. If you're really digging into this as deeply as you should, seek those things which are above, it says in Colossians 3:1. Set your mind, your affection, on the things above, not on earthly things. It says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's verse 3. And then verse 4, we read this yesterday. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Jesus Christ is our life. We live unto God. We're crucified with Christ. If we've claimed that sacrifice, if we've gone through the process of preparing for baptism and received the Holy Spirit of God, then it's no longer about us. It's about Christ in us. It's about setting our minds on the things of God. That verse, crucify, being crucified with Christ, that's in Galatians 2:20, but look at what it says here in verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. To mortify means to make a corpse of, to kill it, to crucify it, to destroy it, in other words. Bury that old man, as it says in Romans 6. Bury the old man and live unto God. It's a new life altogether, isn't it? In Romans 8, verse 13, it says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Live through the Spirit. Live by the power of God's Spirit. That's what's life. That's what is really and truly life. All the rest, well, it's like Herbert Armstrong used to say. I mean, we're just on a countdown clock to when this physical fleshly body expires. It's given unto man once to die, Hebrews 9 says. We're all going to die physically, but what about life after death? What about eternal life in God's kingdom, in God's family? Well, there is a process through which we can qualify for that awesome, incredible reality, a spiritual birth into the family of God. It's a great mystery, even to the world of religion. They don't understand the truth about what it means to be born again. We've got a booklet on that very subject. You can call our operators. I mentioned, by the way, all these magazines, the He Was Right booklet, the new trumpet that just came out, that classic trumpet from 5 years ago on the British exit from the European Union. All of our literature is offered without cost or obligation. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. It's a toll-free number. Even the phone call is free. There's no cost for that. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Verse 6 says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God is coming on those living this way, chasing after fleshly things, just being consumed by their lusts. Verse 7, it says, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. Paul says to these brethren in Colossae, you know, you used to, I know many of you. I baptized you, a lot of you. And I know what you came out of. You left that behind, and just make sure that you leave it back there. Don't return to it. This doesn't sound to me like an apostle who was just doing away with God's laws and saying, come as you are and then stay as you are. You don't need to make changes. Paul is saying, look, you come into the church and you repent. You change. You mortify the deeds of the flesh. You make a corpse of those things. And then you start living a new and different way, a more excellent way, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12. The excellent way of God. The royal law of liberty, James 2. I mean, it's a royal law. What a privilege and honor it is to have our minds open to the truth of God, to have our lives guided by the royal law of God, the law of liberty, the truth that sets us free. What a blessing. You walked according to the ways of the flesh in times past, but now you're in God's royal family. Verse 8 says, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I mean, that's pretty specific. And look at even what comes out of your mouth. What you say. Don't lie to each other. Don't have evil communication or filthy communication. Maintain a godly standard. Abide by those Ten Commandments and all the other instructions in God's holy word. Now, we make mistakes. We're human. And the pulls of the devil, it's strong. But God's power is stronger. And by that power, we can obey God. Remember in Matthew 19, the disciples marveled because that young man wasn't able to be a disciple of Christ. He couldn't give up his material things. And yet he was, I mean, on the surface, he looked like a very upright and righteous and obedient man. And Christ said to his disciples after he walked away from this truth, that I present to you on a daily basis, usually, on this program, he walked away from it. And the disciples just shook their head. Well, if he doesn't make it into God's kingdom, who can make it? And Christ said, with men, it's impossible. Any man, it's impossible to do it on your own. But with God, all things are possible. It's by God's Spirit. It's by the life of Jesus Christ. But you've got to be willing, as Paul says here, to put away anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, even filthy communication. That's quite a royal standard that God sets. It's important what we communicate, how we communicate it. God sees lying, or like Mr. Hilliker brought out in his trumpet brief last night, he sees a double standard as an abomination. Because he's fair. He is just in his judgments. He's not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. And if you have this kind of faith, living faith, the faith of Christ living in you, then you're going to be leading a new life upon baptism. And beyond, verse 10, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we have to be renewed in that knowledge every day, day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16, a daily renewal. That's why we study our Bibles. That's why we pray fervently to God. That's why we ask God to fill us up on His Spirit. The inward man is renewed day by day. You can study the book of Daniel in the Old Testament about the daily sacrifice that happened in ancient Israel. And in the spiritual sense, we need those morning sacrifices, those evening sacrifices. We need that fire of God burning in our hearts and minds. We need to set our affection on the things above. To keep traveling down this spiritual road that we're on. It says in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, God's no respecter of persons. Through Christ, He is in all who have died and risen with Him. They've died in baptism, the old man, and they've risen up in Christ. It says in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It's not just a matter of putting away those sins of the flesh. We're putting on meekness and patience and humbleness of mind and kindness and mercy. Put on the power of God, in other words. Put on the righteousness of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. Learn to put up with one another. Romans 12 and verse 20, it says, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Now, you have to obviously understand and know that there's a lot of enemies. You have to be as wise, as the Bible says, as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Jesus certainly knew, you know, when to kick over tables if he had to clean up the house of God. And he knew when to turn the other cheek. It takes the Spirit of God, really, to walk that line perfectly. Verse 14, it says, and above all these things, put on God's love, which is the bond of perfectness. Above all, fill up on the love of God. And what is the love of God? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, that we keep and observe His commandments, that we're commandment keepers. We love God. We love His truth. We live by it. We're doers of the word, not hearers only. That young man in Matthew 19 that walked away, he was a hearer, but not a doer. And that's why he turned his back on this awesome calling, this incredible human potential. Mr. Armstrong wrote a book by that title. Again, contact our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and ask for a free copy of Incredible Human Potential, or He Was Right, or subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine. As I said, everything that we offer on this program is without cost or obligation. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.